We're actually going to be joined by James Goldney as well as Russell Brumfield. Russell Brumfield is the wizard of Wisp. He is a classic entrepreneur who has a keen ability to identify upcoming trends and harness their potential. With an endless curiosity that is as diverse as his career, he's a student of science, technology, business, marketing, philosophy, religion, and metaphysics. His interest and experience have afforded him insight to grasp the nature and potential of the pioneering field of scent communication. He's continually involved in new startup ventures and has built several multi-million dollar companies. His most notable venture was Wizard Studios, an entertainment event and experiential design company, company catering to the Fortune 500 with clients like Chrysler, Lexus, Motorola, FedEx, Pfizer, Colgate, MTV, Disney, and the NFL, and he has become a trailblazer in the industry. With his partner, James Goldney, he founded a company called Wisp Solutions, which is the world's leading scent marketing and branding company. James is also a leading expert in the field of scent marketing and communication, an entrepreneur and business owner. His career includes working for private and publicly held companies covering a broad range of industries, including real estate, telecommunications, and hospitality. His expertise is in the creation and implementation of business strategies and implementing new technologies, and he has 15 years of corporate writing, speaking, and presentation experience. He has served as the chief operating officer and marketing VP of a Florida-based real estate company, and earlier in his career, he was in on the forefront of the internet boom, serving as director of marketing and investor relations for a $300 million public company, which grew to be the largest of its kind in the Midwest. Originally from the UK, he now lives in Florida, and Russell now lives in Florida. And I am a nonfiction book editor, and I met both of these guys because they founded a company called Wisp Solutions. And there, is that Russell? Oh, no. It is. Yay. I've just finished my introduction. I'm explaining how we met, and I believe we were connected by a mutual friend who used to do some marketing with you when you were involved with, was it the Global News Thought Association?
International News Thought Association. Okay. On the board of IMTA.
Yeah, so you came to me a little over a year ago, not very long ago, and you explained to me that you wanted to write a book that would go with this burgeoning field that you had gotten involved in. And why don't you tell a little bit about your motivations for writing the book?
Well, oh, hi, everybody. I'm Russell. First, I want to tell you that I actually came to you to ask you to look at a book that I had just finished writing, another book. Frankly, I didn't think much of the other book, but it was a book, a spiritual book, which I'm in the metaphysical business, and it was about the community of Santiago, which is a walk across Spain. And I asked you to look at the book to give me your advice, and you gave me lots of good advice on it, and said, yes, there's this other book that I want to write next. And we decided to put that on hold and to write this book and about a brand new burgeoning business that I've been following for about 10 years. And it finally is taking off, and it's approaching its tipping point now.
And now, I think you had been to some enormous retail convention like the week before or something like that. What was that enormous convention where they said that scent marketing was the biggest thing since sliced bread?
We had just done the Global Show. Right. And James and I we were business people. We had a couple businesses, but we global here, the retail design and merchandising people. And frankly, we displayed that with some of our business interests, and we found that they had claimed that scent marketing was the number one trend to be looked at for the upcoming season. James, you got something to add?
No, it was, and we had, I mean, it was trem- tremendous response. You know, we had a little 10x10 booth there, and we had people 2 and 3 deep wanting to know about scent. Of course, we had our scent machines kind of going which drew in a big audience. It was an eye opening event.
So from my point of view, when you came to me and you started talking about this, basically I hadn't known that people were marketing with scent, and I thought it was a really cool idea, but had, you know, that it sort of made me a little nervous because I thought, oh my God, I'm suddenly going to get sprayed with perfume everywhere I go. And then you started explaining to me all the applications of aroma, and I began getting very excited, and I think right in our first conversation I said, I totally want to be on board with this. What do you want to do? And you really were just setting up a company, weren't you?
Well, we started a couple of years before our company, it's slow. When you're in the brand new industry, it's very slow. And I kind of bowed out myself and stayed in a little bit. But scent marketing, which is now, we hope to be about $300 million field this year, and $100 million last year, was just getting started. But a few years before, it was all in the incubation stage. But what was nice about Global Shop, it showed us that there was a lot of interest, and then Advertising Age showed us that there was, it named it a top 10 trend for 2007. But when we came to you, frankly, we're just starting again. Meaning we founded a company that now has, about a $20 million next year's business in the next year or two. So that company was founded, what, in 2005 then? We bowed out. We're investors in it. But we passed it off, and that company is being run by another set of people because, frankly, I took off and traveled the world with a suitcase.
So let's just explain real quick so people under. I want people on this call to understand who your target audience is, and so for that they need to know what scent marketing is. Is it perfume cards tipped into magazines, or is it something more?
I'd like to address, if everybody will realize that I keep...
No, he'll get to talk because I have questions for him.
Yeah, I know, but I do talk. And foremost, scent marketing sounds odd. We've identified the fact that I picked up a book about 10 years ago that showed the amazing things that happen when you smell, and that scent is directly, the olfactory nerve is directly hardwired to our right brain, our emotional brain, the brain that the part of the brain that feels. When we look at a thing, and we see a thing, and we hear a thing, we judge it because it goes into our left brain, our judgmental centers, our reasoning centers, and then we feel. When you smell, you feel. And I found that out about 10, 12 years ago. And that, so to me, as a marketing person, as a design guy, that's dollars. And frankly, a lot of other people at the same time in the last decade started realizing that we got into the scent business in order to go out and sell to Chrysler, you know, a scent marketing program that we worth many millions of dollars.
But what is it that you're doing? Is it pumping smell into the air in a store or a supermarket? What is scent marketing?
I'd like to finish, and that is that
yes.
We originally started that. We learned with the book, scent is a language. So scent is a language, yes, it's pumping or dispersing into a lot of different avenues from environments like hotels. If you went into a Westin or you went into a Marriott right now, you'll smell something in the lobby or into a Bloomingdale's. So scent increases, we learned that scent increases sales tremendously. It increases slot machine usage. It bonds you. When you smell, you feel, you get a picture, you get a perception of time that's less than. And that's what it started as. That's what our intention to write the book was about, delivering scent as happening in 30 countries around the world, delivering scent on behalf of marketers and sales forces to increase sales in stores and in hospitality and in different avenues, environmental avenues.
So we began with the idea that you were going to sell a book proposal to a publisher. And you guys decided really quickly that you were going to put together a plan, and within about 6 weeks you were going to have a proposal ready to go.
Well, to remind what happened in the last year or so is that I also became aware of the Margaret Johansson, whatever they call it, mega marketing, mega book publishing type of outfit. And I spent a large amount of money to go out to that, about $2,500, spent the money on getting into the VIP circle and the lunches and that kind of thing. But what I really got to say, besides the Mark Victor Hansen program, in my own opinion, a giant sales program, and learning that there were 750,000 books written every year and 192,000 possibly printed, and of those about 18,000 actually sold more than 5,000 copies, Mark Victor Hansen's program was to filter down to the people who could afford it, one of the authors, to actually sell them for a couple $1,000s to come to L.A. and teach them something at the same time, upselling them tremendously. I learned a lot from that program, as did James, who I brought the CD package home, and we learned how to market, and that was the business proposal. We studied, I've read 10 books on writing and about at least 10 books on publishing, and so we sat down to write a marketing plan and a business plan for the book proposal, which Stephanie knows all about, and it was a perfect marriage.
Well, my recollection is that you came in and you had a close affiliation with a company that made a machine, and that this was an international company called Air Aroma.
Right, an Australian firm that we partnered with. Our company now, that company is called Air Aroma Americas. We signed a contract to distribute one of the best delivery systems for the North and South Americas for scent delivery and environments. And we're in stores, hotels, you name it. We signed up to General Motors and created a signature scent for General Motors in the last about 3-4 months. And that gig alone is probably a $20 million contract over the life of the contract. So, yeah.
And how does the book now go to that? Does the book have any relationship at all with what that company is doing?
Well, you. By the way, please read the book. yes, frankly, what the affiliation is, we sat in a meeting a year and a half ago and said, I wanted to be a writer all my life, and so I said, well, you should just write a book, and that'll be a great brochure for the company. And what it came out to was a very journalistic venture. But in that book, we identify that we are owners of certain companies, but we also identify that we were told by the biggest people in the business, this is the best machinery. We distanced ourselves, the more we edited the book, we distanced ourselves from Air Aroma, because it's to be a credible book, it's not all about one company. So it's only mentioned a few times in the book, our affiliation. We mentioned the competition. We talked about the entire theater. That's how it started.
So, what other alliances did you end up forging with other businesses that are now factoring into the promotion of the book?
Well, naturally. The fun part about writing the book, and not everybody can do it, I happen to run a business for a lot of years, and I made enough money to do this, but with the fact that I went around the world and interviewed people in the book, and the researchers, the technology people. This is a burgeoning industry, so you went around and interviewed these people, and hey, we had a marketing agreement while we're, if I'm sitting with you in Germany, would you sign this? Bottom line is, we decided to go ahead, the book became a vehicle. Instead of just, I want to write a book. It became a vehicle. There's a famous advertising guy, guru, named Martin Lindstrom. We modeled our book and our marketing plan after this Martin Lindstrom's book called Brand Sense, B-R-A-N-D, Brand Sense. And I had several meetings with that guy, and he had said, Russell, my books are my brochures. And that is for his speaking gigs. He gets $38,000 a gig. He takes only 100 a year, 3.8 mil. The point is that he excited me on a new with a new interest, and so frankly, the book became a vehicle. And as we went around the world and met people, we signed them up as partners. We now have interest, and several companies, and we also have patents. We just decided to, there's a lot of big giant news that we learned while you're researching. If you're a true researcher, while you're researching, you learn a lot. And frankly, scents and essential oils are killing, can kill a superbug. And they're being used upcoming in video gaming and in theater, home theater, and in vehicles. So we, every time we saw an opportunity, we took it. And so we market.
One of the biggest opportunities that we really found ourselves in a position of was with the Scent Marketing Institute. And we can talk about a little bit more about that in a minute. What was kind of interesting about the process of writing the book, as Russell said, we really weren't, it started off as, let's just do this as a brochure for the company, but during the process of doing the research and interviewing, the players in the industry itself, we very quickly realized that this, because it's such a new industry, there's such a lot of lack of understanding and misunderstanding about this concept of scent marketing. It really has turned into a vehicle for educating the business community, the public, people that are just interested about this whole, arena, and really has become a tool that's going to help us lift the whole industry. It's natural for us to, Russell had made some contacts with the Scent Marketing Institute, who, and quickly became, they saw that we were being very helpful to their cause, and so brought us in as advisory board members and very active participants, which we're getting ready to do some very big things actually next week.
We can talk about your conference in a few minutes. The point that I really want to get home to the listeners is that in the process of writing the book, while they were doing research, they were forming joint ventures with various businesses. It was good for their business that's not specifically publishing, but it was also good for the book because the material that I had to then edit that was flowing out of Russell and James was very detailed. It was like a flood of facts and information. And we started shaping that into a manuscript that would be informative for a general reader, that then there's another part which literally guides people through the process of picking the technology that they want to do the things that they want to achieve with the use of scent marketing. And then a third part we created was these applications that Russell and James and the people that they're working with know about the future of scent. So, for instance, one of them was when the rubber in tires starts wearing down, a smell can be released. And then it's time to change the tire. It's good for safety, right? So there's a lot of amazing information that went actually into the structuring of the book.
On top of that, I want to add that we learned so much in writing it that we started out with advertisers, marketers, and manufacturers. And yes, embedded in marketing triggers was an idea that I hit on many years ago, but as a communication device. And what we learned was that we needed to expand our leadership. And so every time we came upon a new area in studying scent, and this is mostly Google, guys. It's Google Alerts. First and foremost is if you have a subject, Google Alert, keywords, and you'll get 10 or 20 emails every day. You search through those and you get gems of information. The point is that as we kept learning about health and danger and wellness, we learned about the CIA's plan to create a scent detection program. We learned about the military using scent to communicate with a soldier on the field. We learned so much, scent TV. We learned a lot about what was happening around the world before anybody else really got it. And we became, from starting as a marketing vehicle, we became the definitive book, and now it will be a Bible on the industry. And we have people from 20, 30 countries downloading a free chapter on our website.
Okay, so let's talk about the website. I think that that's one of the things that you guys have done really, really well with. You've actually got four websites, as far as I can tell. You've got the one for your business, WIF Solutions. You've got one called Ask the WIF Guys, which is a fantastic blog with articles, teleseminars, and all this other stuff going on. And then you've got one called WIFBook.com, which is just, you're giving away a free chapter, and you're collecting email addresses. It's like a squeeze page. Hey, James, you were telling me something about that before.
And then, of course, the fourth one is Quimby Press. So you're saying on the WIFBook one?
Yeah, so let's just talk about them and what you're trying to do with each one, because they each have different purposes. So the one that's just the book.
Yeah, and really a lot of the concepts of this came out of Russell's time that he spent at that mega book marketing thing, and made a lot of notes, and we had a lot of dialogue on. So a lot of the takeaway from that, some of the ideas came out of that, but really the whole concept of the WIF book site to start with was a way to gather people's email addresses. I mean, that was really the driving force behind that, first and foremost. So, if you go to that site, you'll see very prominently there is you give something free and people give something back. So what we did is we created this. There's quite a bit of information about the book, but really the concept is, download a free chapter, put in your email address, download a free chapter, and then explore further, and then have the opportunity to buy the book. So really, that, in a nutshell, that's what it does.
For a self-publisher, you basically, by giving away a chapter of the book, you're letting people sample the merchandise.
Absolutely.
And then address that. Yeah. The word self-publisher, it is not a great word, and we decided that we would go in the publishing business. So that's, in looking at what these terms in the industry are, self-publisher is not the greatest term. So we became a small publisher first. And second, he was talking about building your list. Everywhere you look, the teaching is build your list, your email address, because then you create a following. But go ahead, Stephen.
That's a really good point, because you have a choice when you decide to do the book as an independent publisher, whether or not you're going to use a print-on-demand service or whether or not you're going to use a printer and have the inventory shipped to you somewhere. And you made the decision that you were going to be in charge of moving your own inventory, and that you were going to...
That's not how it started, as you know.
Yeah, I know. You started by making a plan to sell it to a publisher, but you needed a very speedy cycle of publishing, and mainstream publishers tend not to do that.
First of all, we're both marketing people, and we created a marketing sell sheet, a slick, two-sided marketing sell sheet, and I took it to L.A. to the MegaBooks marketing, whatever it's called, Market Johansson. There was only 10 agents, real agents out there, out of probably 1,000 people, but I met several of them, and three of them offered to be our agent. We picked one, and picked one that had a giant success rate. That agent was also, getting a really busy guy, and a guy who only wants $250,000 or at least $100,000 downstrokes, did not do a good job for us, and we ended up making a decision only 6 or 8 months ago, or whatever it was, November, to actually do it ourselves because of time. We had McGraw-Hill highly interested, had discussions with them, and our agent went for a six-figure sum. They said, well, they couldn't justify it because they could crunch the numbers there. We then found out we could be published, but in February 2009 by a couple of other publishers. We are in a tipping point of a specific industry, and that was not in our business plan. So we took our reins, and that, Stephanie, is when we decided to publish.
Right. So what I really want the listeners to get this is that often when a publisher sees a book proposal with a really extensive marketing plan, that is, they can barely believe that you're going to pull it off. And because of who Russell is, Russell created a really massive, I've been calling this a massive book rollout campaign. He created a really detailed, integrated promotion plan, and I have been watching him step by step for the past year, pulling it off. Those publishers are going to eat their words. They're going to wish they jumped on it.
By the way, we both created it.
Yes, of course. And the point is that the publishers missed an opportunity because it needed to move quickly. So you created a publishing business, and you have been putting together this amazing plan that I just want to, like, lay it out so people can, like, admire it the way that I do. So back to the WIF book page. So people on this very simple website, people can link to your bio, they can buy the book, and then they can link also to these other sites that you have, one of which is the conference that you've put together, which I want to talk about, and one of which is this AskTheWIFGuys.com blog-style website. So if somebody pushes the button to order WIF on this page, James, can they only buy one copy, or can they buy in bulk that way?
So they can buy. In fact, we would like them to buy as many copies as they would like. So absolutely, they can buy in bulk. We'll get into this in a little bit. But if it's a bookstore or something, they would go through our distributor now. But
that link go to Amazon, or does it go to you?
No, we have two, and you can buy online, and we will ship directly to those. We just have we just process their credit card information, ship the book out, or they can also go through Amazon, and that's actually handled through the distributor. So
that
we make a lot more selling it ourselves than Amazon, than the distributor. Right now, we've now signed ourselves away. We're the only way we can really make almost 50%. Is frankly conferences with our own book and through that website. But there's good and bad for both. But we make $12 ourselves through Amazon, $9, and now through the distributor we make $7 and change of a very nice hardcover book at $24.95.
So you decided to go into hardcover. Was that for a specific reason?
Well, I'd like to say that I come from the event business, and I learned something that someone told me once when I was 23 years old. Pick your market and stick with it. You want to sell Rolls Royces, or do you want to sell Timex watches? And the bottom line is that so we picked the best design, the best interior layout design company, and the best exterior, the good paper. We embossed the entire book. We decided to go with, if we're going to go out and expect it to be highly respected and accepted by Barnes & Nobles and Borders and the rest of them, we learned a lot in interviewing these Dog Ear and these iUniverse companies. We learned a lot from these companies. And what we did learn is it's a big, massive machine. A lot of it's, my own opinion, is crap. And I say crap because people try to do it cheap. And if you're going to do something in your life and put your words into a page that's going to last beyond your life, you want to be proud. And it's not about the money, and I know that some people on the phone are like, well, they could afford it. No, it was an investment, and your investment is in yourself. Look, if you go onto any of these websites, you'll see a big picture of me, and that is we're creating a persona. We're creating a personality. And therefore, am I going to be a personality with typos, with poor interior layout, with a cheap design in the front, or am I going to be a personality that I want to demand $20,000 for a speaking gig, which we don't yet, we will within a year, or is it going to be just a cheap book that my ego can say I wrote a book? And that's decision made. That's what I wanted to say.
So I think that actually says a real lot to me, at any rate, because you took this with a really high degree of seriousness, and you created a plan that you believed would bring you returns. And so you viewed it as an investment. Now, you've spent it to cover, haven't you?
Yes, we also practice what we preach. And we preach multi-sensory design, which means all the senses. And the biggest one is that we've actually created the first jacket cover that actually releases the sense when you touch it. And so that is what Stephanie educated me as, is off-the-page prep. There's an entire story. It can give you a different angle for publicity, for the PR team, or for your own publicity purposes, to be able to say, here's another reason to look at my book. When I was talking with McGraw-Hill, they were stating, how can we send people Arrogant Barnes & Nobles, and how can we pitch these people? We have some molecules in the back of the book that look like scent molecules, and they actually say with and braille. It's another multi-sensory piece. We took cleverness and created it from inside out on the book, for the websites. We want to be noticed. It's a big, please look at me type of marketing plan.
So the cover, for those who haven't looked at it, although I think everybody saw a picture of it if they signed up for this, is actually a binary code with a kind of a smoky, colored smoke on it, you know, the image. And the subtitle is The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. And it almost looks like that kind of iRobot-style typeface that you might see on science fiction book or something. So I think that you did a really good job with your package, and I haven't smelled the book yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it came out a couple days ago, and I haven't smelled the book either. I've been in Alaska, and James has gotten 2 copies of the hardcover.
How does it smell, James?
It smells wonderful. It smells like it smells the fragrance uses is called electricity, which we had a $2 billion company which have taken a lot of interest in what we're doing for the whole sort of the scent, you know, use of scent for communication. And so they helped us with they basically have a huge team of perfumers and fragrance design folks, and they helped us put that together, use for the books.
So, yes. And what I added there, that part of this whole deal is, we went to that company and said, we'd like to cover the areas of your company, the perfumers, the integrity people, the PR part. This company creates scent for everybody from Pepsi to, you know, L'Oreal. And the thing is that we made a deal with those people and to actually be a sponsor for our book PR tour, which is 18 cities in 9 countries, soon to be planned for later in the year. And so every time we turned around, what I did learn about being an interviewer is that people talk to you. As a guy selling other things in my life, I couldn't get past the secretary sometimes, but I'll tell you, when you're a journalist and you're writing a book, everybody wants to talk. It's great. And so we'd make a deal, and we've made deals. We added one page to the book last minute, and I won't name any company, one page in order to have an advanced PO that, for 1,000 books that takes the entire publishing process. And that was added just, what, James, 3 days before we actually went to print?
We had to hold the presses a little bit for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are relationships that writers can make with companies that, as in a cynical way, you can tell that Russell and James have a lot of pride in what they're doing. But if you are approaching a company that you admire and you're going to write about them anyway, they are a potential client.
By the way, I just want to add that. And this guy who's close to a billionaire who called up and said, why am I not in the book? This is so cool. And we had galleys go out. He's not in the galley. And we said, well, you were a little gruff with us about 3 years ago when we talked to you, and he really didn't want to talk to you. The point is that his company, he's invested something like $50 million, a lot of money, and he did deserve to be in the book, the company did, and frankly, he threw out, you know, I'll buy so many books and I'll get you speaking gigs, etc. But I made the statement to him the day we were negotiating, that is, first and foremost, we're not going to write everything's going to be positive about you. He had a previous engagement with a company to where he had a roller coaster ride in that company. Bottom line is that no, you cannot go against degrade your
master
credentials.
Yeah.
And everything that we've done there, even the IFF, the fragrance company that we talked about, that company, we do compare other companies. And we've done everything we can to be journalistic first and talk about the bad along with the good, and we do.
So let me go back to talking about those websites, because you set them up because you knew that you were going to do a splashy launch right around now. I know you set up a convention, which is this weekend. Maybe we should start there and talk about that.
Well, first and foremost, I don't know how many of these people online are metaphysicians or into metaphysics, but I met Stephanie because of her relationships in the metaphysical community, the spiritual community. And I believe that if you follow the principles of the secret or anything else you want to call it, that if you put out your visual of the end result, that people show up and just tell you what to do and tell you everything shows up in your life. And that's what's happened here, and that is that we kept meeting people around the world, including this German that runs the Scent Marketing Institute. And as I was interviewing him, I said, well, what's the structure of your business? Do you have a conference? Do you have this and that and this and that? And he really didn't. It's a brand new industry. So I said, well, you know, I come from the conference business. I'll be happy to help you here. James and I became extremely involved to where my ex-company is now, my ex being a sold company, is now actually executing a conference. And we've brought people from around the world. They're all coming in to New York City, Times Square, on Sunday night for a really cool thing. And that is the first industry trade show and the first industry conference, the first industry trade organization. We're creating a new field, and it's a very exciting time. And what are we doing? Putting our book on top of this conference. And I'm the opening keynote for the conference. James and I are both speaking throughout the two-day period and moderating. We have it by big stakes. We added also what I call the Lift Girls. Anyway, we have four top models that we've hired, and a kind of Dean Martin kind of guy who takes them around. And frankly, these Lift Girls have Lift, of course, on the T-shirts. Their names Jasmine and Lily and Rose. Their names are scents, and they also smell like those scents. But these girls are our salespeople, because we know it's mostly men at the conference, and therefore we're going to sell every single person at that conference a book because we want to chat the girl.
Rewind for a second. No, because you took them to Times Square.
Yeah, we thought, and we happen to be lucky to have a ex-client of mine who's a former vice president of marketing at Outback Steakhouse, and she said, you want to hit up advertisers? They all come to Times Square once a year, tens of thousands of them, because of these big parties put on by the network. So she said, put your wizard cap on, the last company. And we did, and we ended up hiring boys and girls, good-looking boys and girls, models, put them in T-shirts, and put balloons out of the day, and we ambush marketed for 3 days, I think it was 3 days, we ambush marketed by, ambush marketing means you show up when you're not supposed to be there. Well, they were standing in line to get into NBC's party. We had the girls smelling like chocolate with a music of Ooh, That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd in the background, and a camera, and another guy, a host, and we actually interviewed, and we handed out flyers, and frankly, really, that took off so well.
What did the balloons say, Russell?
Well, each day we had a different message. This is all about marketing. And the first day, say this was What's That Smell? And on the front of the T-shirt and the balloon, on the back of the balloon and the T-shirt, would say Your Brand. This is branding to a bunch of advertisers. One day it says Smells, Tattoos on the Brain. You'll now remember 30% more recall about us, you know, on this girl or whatever. You know, we had messages on them. We had a whiff, and then we say, get it yet, which is the get sent marketing, and you get the book. Mm-hmm. We had messages specifically each day. This is all about marketing. And honestly, as much as I know a lot of authors, as much as they don't want to deal with this, you want to sell your book, look at what Robert Kiyosaki did, and that's the Rich Dad Poor Dad. You watch the people and use them as models who are successful. And what we're doing is out of the box marketing. Stephanie laughed when I told her about what we were doing, and she said, wow. That's what you asked me about.
I love it. You sent those girls out next to the Naked Cowboy in Times Square. The Naked Cowboy, everybody knows him.
And the Naked Cowgirl, there's a naked woman out there. She sang a song about scent on video that we're using it for the company.
Right. So this is really kind of brilliant, because not only can you get in the newspaper that day, the advertisers see you and they realize they can advertise this way. You can hand them a brochure, get them to come to your conference, and for sure they're going to read the book.
And
you film it, and then you use the film on your blog, on YouTube.
James talked about Google and YouTube, James, about why the videos.
Yeah, you might want to try this as an experiment. I was doing some work on some web stuff for a friend who has a real estate seminar business, and you can imagine real estate seminars are just a zillion of them. And what we did is we created some videos, put them on YouTube, and literally in about 10 minutes, if you put your keywords in correctly, You'll be in Google higher for the search engine. So the concept, I mean,
where do you put the keywords?
Yeah, when you enter, when you set the page up for YouTube in the title of the video. So and it's kind of amazing to try it. I mean, you can just do it with any title that, you know, set up a YouTube account if you don't have one, put a video on there, and then Google it later, and it's there. So, you know, there's with a lot of the video. Any excuse to do video is a great thing. The search engines like it. If you can get your video in a number of places, get it linked to a lot, search engines like it. So really, I mean, we have a very, very, I mean, we only just got the book out a couple of days ago. So, you know, we've had these websites up for only over, a little over a month, I think, Russell?
Yeah, a little over a month, yeah.
Not very long, so it's very, very, very green yet. And, you know, one of the things, we've got a little bit of audio on the site now. The 6 weeks of teleseminars we did, but
this is the absolute
size
one. Yeah.
Right. I think
the videos, you'll be seeing the videos in the coming weeks. We've been creating them. By the way, they don't have to be anything other than the fact that you're talking, but you can also use other people's videos. And frankly, I went on and looked at smell videos, all of anybody that's written something about smell. But we were doing one called, you know, if you remember the 80s Devo Whip It. Well, it's with it anyway, but we have something that knows your nose, and we're actually taking those interviews with the Whip girls in Times Square and using some of them in the conference, and then we're going to lay them down on the website. The biggest thing for websites is traffic and depth of content, and so I wanted to add that we took the many words, Stephanie cut about 30,000 words out of the book originally. Another 10,000 since a month or two beforehand. We had about 40,000 extra words, and it's a perfect place to take that, cut it up, and if you don't put it in the book or it gets cut, stick it on your blog. Because
make some articles. Post the articles, yeah.
And yeah, search engine optimization is all about depth of blogs. And frankly, we learned that. The next steps are, you know, we're hiring a search engine optimization company. Now, we have more of a value. This is not a novel, but I've learned a lot. My next book's a novel. But the point is that what we've learned is this is a business vehicle. So therefore, your whole job is somebody in Russia to Google something up and you to come up on the top. We found an optimization company that guarantees, before they start charging you monthly, to be on the top 30 search engines, the top first page, they call it, on the first page. And the bottom line is that's your goal. Your goal is video, content, keywords, taglines. It sounds complicated, but there's a plethora of people now who know about these things. And frankly, the whole idea is death and affiliation. And we're putting our book on, you know, all of the affiliate websites of all of our partners we've made. So the more traffic between the websites and the more traffic between other people's websites, between us and Amazon, it just brings you up in this predictive analytical process, this computer program of Google. The whole idea is to get noticed.
Hey, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I just want to quickly hit on just a few things with really short answers, just so that people have the information. So I'm curious how much of a team you have. You have a PR agency?
Yeah, I must say that, yeah, we went for broke. Again, we're trying to do a multi-million-dollar back end, so the investment that we will end up having in the book is over six figures, I will say.
Okay, but I just want to know what you're actually doing, the steps. So,
we hired an assistant, actually two of them, to filter phone calls. We hired a PR team. The PR team is out of New York City and L.A. They sent out at least to Wall Street Journal, across the board, Donnie Deutsch, you name it. They sent out. That's in the book review process now. It's about 3 weeks old, and we started to do articles. We have a couple articles coming out for trade magazines, and slowly we're getting some tremendous feedback. We're going to do a lot of shows, a lot of radio, print interviews, advertising agencies this week. But so the PR team is the major part. Personally, I'm blessed because James has web capabilities. He has the ability to understand basics. He's not a code programmer, but these things, he's a smart guy. And the thing is, so we have that, but we've also teamed up with a printer, the one of the best, called Malari. For the book. First, the galley. We did that digitally, or whatever you call it, on demand. We printed 300 galleys.
So what service did you use to print your galleys?
Oh, we love them. ANA, was it, James?
Yeah, ANA in Tampa, probably right around the corner from us, yes, in Tampa, yeah. Florida. They were great.
And we were looking for across the United States, and we got the best. I first went, and I talked with the people at iUniverse. I talked to Dog Ear, and I was very unhappy. They wanted us to be in their sales program. They wanted to own our ISBN. We did not want anybody to own our ISBN, though.
Right. So let me just explain for people what a bound galley is. A bound galley looks like a paperback book, except that it has your cover art on it. On the top it says this is an advanced reading copy, and then on the back it spells out the details of your marketing campaign. So it'll say we're going to do TV, radio, and print. We're doing keynotes and speaking. We're doing print articles, e-zine articles, all that kind of stuff. They know what you're investing in it. And then what you do with this is you send this to people like 3 or 4 months ahead of your pub date. Russell and James with their press, Quimby Press, even though the book has inventory now it's come in from the printer, the books exist, they now have signed a deal with an independent distributor for small presses, which has, how many sales reps do they have, do you know?
They have
30?
It's not that big. They have about a dozen.
Right.
But
so
they
like
have 400 independent publishers.
Yeah, so what they do is they have sales staff that has pre-existing relationships with bookstores, and so they make a catalog and they go in and they sell your books to the bookstores, which is basically why you would have wanted a mainstream publisher anyway. So now they're working with Midpoint Distribution, and the book, this galley, which was available about a month ago, I think. Now the distributor is selling through to bookstores. The book will actually have its hard publishing date, like, in what? 2 months?
It was published. The hardcover published a few days ago and was shipped to, was it shipped to Midpoint?
Just literally 2 days ago.
but it's not really going to be in all the bookstores across the country for a while.
We think September. September is what they're looking for the bookstore.
Yeah, so the thing about having the galley and even having some books to play with is that they can get them into the you guys can get them into the hands of longleaf magazines. You can get them into the hands of book reviewers. You can get them into the hands of producers at television stations. So Bound Galley gives you all of those advantages. I just want people to know.
And it turns out there is another very good reason to have a galley is you get a lot more people to seriously read your book and find any mistakes in it.
Our book is footnoted with over 200 studies. It's footnoted and it has names galore in it. And we found, after the galley was printed, what, James, 10, 15, 20 names?
And they were very important ones, too, yeah. So it was
foreign names. And that's one thing we learned that will never happen again. And that is my looseness, as I was gathering, I'm a loose goose, and I was responsible for most of the mistakes, and they've been corrected, and we're ecstatic. And the galley is an imperative process. If you want to look and act like a big shot, then you need to have a galley. It needs to be sent out to book reviewers, Publishers Weekly, all those guys, and get it out in advance. It'll get you into the stores in advance. It'll help to sell you with this paperback copy, which literally only that costs $6 a book. Our end book probably costs $2 or $3 of hardcover because you're ordering
right.
Amazon.
Right. So are you doing postcard mailings or anything like that?
The PR company just did PR kit mailings. Frankly, have an entire next process of publishing. What I am doing in the coming days is sending out to every friend I have, everybody you know, to buy from Amazon the same day to get up the Amazon ladder. We're right in the middle of all of this.
Right. So this is exciting. Did you go the route of getting a lot of endorsements, or did your business relationships stand in for that?
And that's what happened. We got endorsements in the beginning, as you know. You remember me bitching about that? They said I had to go out and ask people to actually endorse the book. I don't like, begging. And we did. And we have advanced praise of the book from Rolls-Royce of America, Federal Express, and from major advertisers. We have some good advanced praise, and we'll add to that. We might put a forward in the next edition, which we'll order in the next week. We've been inquired about with publishers since. Ever since we started a couple months ago and it all started coming out, now of course we've got more publishers. And we figure we'll sign on with a publisher as soon as we've made our money back. We were going to make a couple bucks a book with a publisher and we now make a lot more than that. And I understand why. I wanted to add before we end is that we're serious. We're going to have a publishing company now. We're going to probably publish a few books a year. And we're looking for extremely good talent, and that's all I have to say.
Well, you're going to get a flood of emails after this. Not yet, though, people. Just hold off a little bit. But
we're 6 months before we ever even anticipate.
Yeah, so that's not going to be until...
It's a machine. It's an entire machine, and as the Midpoint Distributor CEO says, he said, the old way is a dinosaur way, where there's a catalog every season, et cetera, et cetera. He said, the new way is really... They're going up against print-on-demand. The new way is the fact that if you have a marketing plan and a marketing vehicle, you can get published and you can get it out on this, and you can make a very healthy sum of money on it, and not just ego. We've got to separate from the 500,000 people a year who write for ego purposes, because I wrote a book. That's not, if you've decided it's a business, make it a business, and actually study. Study the tipping point. That's a perfect book. And study of books about marketing and business. And I'm saying, if you're not into studying, then you shouldn't be doing it. You're just going to have, a book on your shelf. But make it a business. It really is.
This is a very good book, too, I think, for a lot of writers and authors.
Enos, by Michael Gerber. I want to let people know that I'm going to give you guys a special offer if you want to buy a couple of products from me. One is called Partner with Your Publisher, and it's normally $49.95, and I'm going to cut 1995 off because I want to actually move my physical CDs. It's a double CD, 100 Figure Out Your Marketing Plan, that on the timetable that you need to go forward with a publisher. I actually designed that in order for people to figure out the timetable of interactions that they do with a mainstream publisher, but it works for independent publishers as well, because most people don't realize when to do their galleys, when to get their endorsements and all of that. So I'm going to send an email around about that. And I also want to...
I can offer one more thing, Stephanie. That is,
sure.
We'll go ahead and share our marketing plan with them, at least a piece of it, so they can see how we went about it.
Oh, sure. And I would be happy to make that available. So I'm also going to be posting this. And what I'll do is I'll post that as a PDF with it, and you and I can work on that.
They buy your product, you just give them the...
Yeah, hey, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And wait before...
Thanks.
So, you know what, one other thing I decided to do was to knock off $50 from my proposal writing audio program. And I'm going to put this all in an email to you, and you can get it. And then when the call goes online, I will send you a link for where to pick that up as well. And you know what? You should really check out the fourth website, the Expo website, because you will see there how they've made these business relationships with people and how it's all integrated. But if you look at all the websites together, and you see how they all link up, you can kind of see where this plan is going. And I swear to you, these guys started from scratch. This is in 1 year these guys have done this, and it's really amazing to watch it unfold. So I would keep my eyes open.
CentralExpo.com, that's all it is. Central World.
Yeah. And ask the WIF guys, if you want to set up a blog-style site, that's a great one to copy. Just go for it. Copy it. I mean, don't copy all the articles, you know, but write your own articles.
And if anybody wants marketing advice, you can email it, and we can send you somewhere we give advice, but honestly, we're inundated right now, but I know that we've given marketing advice to a whole lot of people, not just publishing, but frankly, if you have patience, we'll answer your emails.
And you know what, Russell, I'll also do something for you, which is when you're ready to be and interact with people who are looking to find a publisher, I will send a message out to the people on my list so that they can, because that's a really terrific thing, and it's really terrific to share with them how you've gone about building your business.
In the publishing world, we decided that if we fall in love with something, we'll publish.
Right. And that's the way it should be, actually, in the same business that you're in. You know, you guys are really creative, and I wish I could go on and on talking to you for like another hour, because this is my favorite kind of conversation besides talking about spiritual things. I just am really thrilled and pleased that you're having the success that you plan for. I mean, it's really nice to see something come to fruition. I'm proud that I was involved in my little way.
Yeah. And high expectations, using the secret. We're doing all of the things that we learned. We learned from every single thing. Every time we went to do a thing like getting on Amazon, getting a publisher, getting a printer, getting an agent, those are all learning experiences, and never, ever, ever be doubtful. If you are absolutely determined and you decree that it'll happen, it happens, and that's just, you learn that in life, and you learn it through spiritual aspects, and that's the whole key here. If you think, if you're worried about getting an agent, and you're worried about getting published, then you're not going to get published, and that's the whole key.
Yeah.
So therefore, know, believe, and conceive, and achieve, you know, the three basics.
Yeah. Thank you so much also, James. I'm really glad you came on the call.
Welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And thanks to everybody for listening. So we'll all be in touch soon.
Hasta luego.